Ida of Sweden, Volume 1, which contains books 1 through 3, Mercy and Justice, referring to the page numbers of this volume, page 60. I will now show you what these images mean. The castle I spoke about is the Holy Church, which I built with my own blood and that of the saints. I cemented it with my charity, and then placed my chosen ones and friends in it. Its foundation is faith. I mean the belief that I am a just and merciful judge. The foundation has now been understood because everybody believes and preaches that I am merciful, but almost nobody believes me to be a just judge. They think of me as a wicked judge. A judge would indeed be wicked if, out of mercy, he let the wicked go unpunished, so that they could further oppress the righteous. I, however, am a just and merciful judge, and will not let even the least sin go unpunished, nor the least good go unrewarded. By the undermining of this wall, there entered into the Holy Church people who sin without fear, who deny that I am just, and who torment my friends as much as if they had clapped them in stocks. No joy or consolation is given to these friends of mine. Instead, they are punished and reviled as much as if they were diabolically possessed. Page 83. But those who are now said to be wise sin even more against me. For I gave them sense, understanding, and wisdom in order for them to love me. But the only thing they understand is their own temporal advantage. They have eyes in their head, but look only to their own pleasures. They are blind as to giving thanks to me, who gave them everything. Since nobody, whether good or wicked, can perceive or understand anything without me, even if I allow the wicked to incline their will to whatever they like. Moreover, nobody can be virtuous without me. I could now use that commonly cited proverb, "Everyone despises the patient man." Because of my patience, everyone thinks I am terribly foolish, and that is why everyone looks down on me. But woe to them when, after so much patience, I make my sentence known to them. Before me, they will be like mud that drops down to the depths, and does not stop until it comes to the lowest parts of hell. Page 114. Then they dishonor him when he warns them through his servants to serve him, and they despise this and do as they please. They crucify his right hand by mistaking justice for injustice, saying, "Sin is not so grave and odious to God as it is said, nor does God punish anyone forever. But his threats are only to scare us. Why would he redeem us if he wanted us to perish? They do not consider that the least little sin a person delights in is enough to send him or her to eternal punishment. Since God does not let the least little sin go unpunished, nor the least good go unrewarded, they will always have a punishment, inasmuch as they have a constant intention of sinning. And my son, who sees their heart, counts this as an act, for they would carry out their intention if my son permitted it. They are worse than Judas. For Judas, after he had betrayed the Lord, recognized that he was God and that he himself had sinned gravely against him. He despaired, however, and hastened his days toward hell, thinking he was not worthy to live. These people recognize their sin, and yet they persevere in it with no compunction about it in their hearts. Rather, They want to take the kingdom of heaven by a kind of violence and force, thinking they can get it, not through their deeds, but through a vain hope. Vain, because it will be given to none, but the one who works for it and makes some sacrifice for God. So, my bride, obey and fear my son, for as merciful as he is also just. 1:18 through 1:19. But their faith is weak and wavering, threatening a speedy fall, because they are ready to believe when the impulses of temptation are absent. But they lose confidence when they meet with adversity. Their hope is vain, because they hope that their sin will be forgiven, without a trial and without a proper sentence. They are confident they will get the kingdom of heaven for free. They want to receive my mercy, untempered by justice. Their love toward me is cold, for they are never on fire in seeking me out, unless forced by tribulation. How can I grow warm toward these people who have neither an upright faith, nor a firm hope, nor a fervent love for me? Consequently, when they cry out to me and say, God, have mercy on me, they will not deserve to be heard or to enter into my glory, since they do not want to accompany their Lord in suffering. They will accompany him in glory. They will not accompany him in glory. No soldier can please his Lord and be welcomed back into favor after a lapse, unless he first humbles himself in order to make up for his disdain. 1:29. They answered him, just as the entire world perished at the beginning of the world by the waters of the flood, so too now the world deserves to perish by fire, since iniquity and injustice are more abundant now than then. The Lord answered, since I am just and merciful and render no judgment without mercy, nor mercy without justice, once more I will send my mercy to the world due to the prayers of my mother and my saints. If they do not want to listen, there will follow a justice that is only much the more severe. 2:05. If you have any sense, remember that I have been patient with you, and that you have insulted me in a way you yourselves would never tolerate. However, although I can do all things by reason of my omnipotence, and although my justice cries out to be revenged upon you, still my mercy, which is in my wisdom and goodness, spares you. Therefore, ask for mercy. In my love, I grant that which a person asks for me in humility. And finally, 3:15. The third city is the city of sorrow. This is hell. Here, one finds a love for every kind of evil and impurity, a love for every kind of envy and obstinacy. God governs this city well. This he does by means of balanced justice, the due moderation of punishments, the restraint of evil, and the fairness of the sentences that takes each sinner's merits into account. Some of the condemned are greater sinners, others lesser. The conditions for their punishment and retribution are set up accordingly. Although all the condemned are enclosed in darkness, not all of them experience it in one and the same way. Darkness differs from darkness, horror from horror, hellfire from hellfire. God's rule is one of justice and mercy everywhere, even in hell. Thus, those who have sinned deliberately have their particular punishment. Those who have sinned out of weakness have a different one. Those who are being held only because of the damage done by original sin have a different one again. While the torment of these latter consists in the lack of the beatific vision and of the light of the elect, still, they come close to mercy and joy in the sense that they do not experience horrible punishments. Since they bear no effects of any evil deeds of their own doing. Otherwise, if God did not ordain the number and limit of the punishments, the devil would never show any limits in tormenting